Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Oh, hey, before we start the show, I got to tell you about the Allegedly podcast with my lawyers, Bo Bowen and Ryan Schmidt. They got pop culture, they got legal news, they got behind the scenes antics and a whole lot of laughs. One of the best podcasts I've ever heard. Allegedly with Bo and Ryan at thebowenlawgroup.com. Link in the description and everywhere you get your podcasts, of course. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Shit's getting way too complicated for me.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, May 16, 2023, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 846 of the Biden-Harris administration, 539 days until the 24 presidential election. Instagram, the Bob Seska. Twitter, Bob Seska underscore go. Spoutable, Bob Seska. What else is there? TikTok. Oh, yeah, Bob Seska there, too. And, of course, the Patreon page is bobseskashow.com. And sitting right over there, it's Buzz Burbank with the news.
I won't do it.
You've said it all.
Hello?
No, no. Listen to this. Giuliani wants me to get him some more Viagra. I'm not going to do it.
No,
I'm not going to do
no.
it. Hell no. Yeah. Hi, everybody. He's Bob. I'm Buzz. And we are the most trusted name in calling out bullshit. Hey, did I miss something? Or is this something I dreamed? Did Rupert Murdoch buy CNN?
Not yet.
Oh, my God. That fake town hall on CNN. You know, in just 70 minutes, CNN broadcast enough lies to actually fill a silo.
F that guy in his silo.
Well, the clock is ticking on that debt ceiling thing.
Mm-hmm.
In Washington, Democrats are trying to avoid default, and Republicans are trying to avoid the blame.
Wow, that's great.
and that George Santos is slippery, ain't he?
Mm-hmm.
When they booked him last week for theft and wire fraud, he may have outsmarted the authorities. The officers who booked him say they're now pretty sure he used somebody else's fingerprints. Ford says it will stop selling vehicles with AM radios.
Oh, no.
Yeah, AM radio will be laid to rest on Thursday right next to Rush Limbaugh.
Wow, end of an era.
Yeah. Oh, and right or wrong, officials say the COVID emergency is over.
Wow.
I know. But listen, here's how you can really tell it's over. The cooks at Arby's have gone back to licking your food.
More so. Fun, more music, the Bob Seska Show.
A little Carlson. My little Tucker. Putin's mother. You would lie for but Rupert Murdoch, he fired you.
Yeah.
Rocky Mountain Mike with another Tucker Carlson song.
And Rocky Mountain Mike and the cast of Grease, ladies and gentlemen.
Excellent. Little Carlson is the name of that one. Okay.
Follow him on YouTube.
Yeah, we just, you know, before the show, Buzz and I had a 20-minute conversation about how much news there was today.
Was it closer to 30?
know. That's right. Sorry. I apologize. I know.
Well, we talked about other things, but then we share a room. So what do you expect?
Exactly right. We're holding hands, you know?
Yeah.
All right. So what we have to do in order to decide what happens first, we got to plunk a couple of coins into the slot machine of insanity. And there we go. Let's see. What do we do? Rudy Giuliani?
Ouch.
No. Oh, yes.
It hurts.
Have to.
Oh,
my God. Says here, Durham Report. We got to talk about the
Durham Report.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's going to be one of those days, Buzz. I can just see it coming down Main Street. Okay.
Yeah. I told you before the show, I think my blood pressure's up. And part of that may have to do with the fact that I'm in Florida, but we'll get back to that. We have bigger fish to fry off the top here.
So there's this weird thing going on right now that we seem to be experiencing more and more often, where all the normals go, well, there's nothing here. What is this? And then the cable news media and the Republicans just are screaming as though they're wearing a beard of bees or something like that. Everyone's losing their minds, rending their garments on one side of it, and everyone else is going, I don't see anything here. This looks like a big nothing.
We're talking about all the news coverage of the Durham Report.
Yeah.
And headlines everywhere saying the Durham Report sharply criticizes the FBI for its the way it conducted the Trump-Russia investigation. The headlines do not tell you the correct story.
Right.
The story is the investigation at a cost of $6.5 million found nothing.
Yes, no charges against anyone.
Right.
But at the same time, when the Mueller investigation was happening, and there were myriad charges and prosecutions against many of Donald Trump's henchmen, well, right. It was a gigantic dud. I'll never forget when the Barr memo came out, where Bill Barr wrote that letter ahead of the Mueller report being released. Well, I should do the Bill Barr voice. I don't see anything here. I mean, there's obviously no collusion. I think this is a gigantic nothing burger. Yeah. And then he fell asleep.
He did that. I mean, before the Mueller report could come out, as you all recall, Barr put out his interpretation of it, which was sharply screwed. Well, that too. It was sharply skewed to Trump world, but we were sharply screwed by it.
Yeah, but that set the tone for how the Mueller report was received. About a month later, and essentially the common wisdom became Mueller didn't find anything, which is absolutely wrong. Let's talk about some of the things that happened coming out of the Mueller investigation that we haven't seen any of from John Durham. First of all, Paul Manafort was found guilty. Rick Gates was found guilty. Mike Flynn was found guilty. George Papadopoulos found guilty. Roger Stone guilty. Michael Cohen guilty. Constantine Kalimnik, $250,000 reward for him.
Half a dozen other Russians.
Yeah, of course, the Internet Research Agency in St. Petersburg has been charged. I don't know how they're going to be prosecuted, but
I'm not sure that they can be, but they were charged. Actual criminal charges did come out of that.
Exactly. So you got all these things on top of the fact that we have myriad points where there were Trump henchmen, Trump operatives meeting with Russians. We've got Trump doing business in Russia on several different fronts, whether it's loans or the Trump Tower Moscow thing. We've got Russia deliberately spreading disinformation all throughout social media to help Donald Trump win that election. We've got the DNC hacking from the spring before.
And what the public draws from this, not just the maggots are excited about this, but what the general public draws from this is, aha, the FBI was wrong in its Trump-Russia investigation. That's not what the report says. It's not the truth. Republicans, regardless of the issue or non-issue in most of their cases, Republicans misinterpret the truth. They get out ahead of the truth by misinterpreting it first, and then they make it stick by repeating it often. We're not doing that on the Democratic side. They are where we should be getting out front with the interpretation. Republicans always somehow manage to beat us to the punch with a misinterpretation that they hammer and hammer and hammer until it's believed.
These aren't very smart guys, as the saying goes, from Watergate. Yeah. These aren't very smart guys, and things got out of hand. We're smarter. We have the more creative people. They just seem to outmaneuver us sometimes. And in this case, what they've been able to do, and this has happened on many occasions, is they can take something that just has the whiff, the bullshit whiff of wrongdoing. Yeah. And then they can inflate that into an entire scandal. It's what Donald Trump was trying to do with Burisma, with extorting Ukraine and trying to strong arm Zelensky into launching an investigation. They didn't want an actual investigation. Trump just wanted Zelensky to announce an investigation to be able to springboard a scandal from, right?
But he did get Bill Barr to appoint U.S. Attorney John Durham, as special counsel to investigate the Russia investigation.
That's right.
And that's what this Durham report is the result of. It's the result of the investigation of the Russia investigation. It filed no charges against any law enforcement or intelligence community official. Mm-hmm. It got it filed two high-level charges. In both cases ended in acquittals. And there was one low-level case where a lawyer didn't take the right steps in acquiring a warrant, and that one actually got convicted. But there is no evidence in, even though this is what Trump wanted Durham to find, there was no evidence in that report of any political motivation on the part of the FBI.
Yep.
Did they do some things wrong procedurally? Maybe. Was this a deep state conspiracy? Absolutely not. But the headlines are underscoring MAGA's belief and influencing the belief of the folks in the middle to believe that the FBI's Russia investigation was fouled in some way.
Yeah.
And the truth is, if you read that, 300-page report, there's nothing there. There's literally nothing there.
And when you hear them complaining about how the indictment against Donald Trump in New York City and how these various grand juries are investigating Donald Trump, and they scream about how this is a political persecution against
deep
Trump and Trump's
conspiracy.
Henchmen. Yeah, right. Deep state conspiracy, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, take a look at the actual history of political prosecutions here. Obviously, the entire Durham investigation was launched in order to go after anyone who combined the words Trump and Russia in a sentence.
Right.
That's essentially what that was all about. Then you got numerous investigations about against Hillary Clinton, either before the 2016 election or immediately following the 2016 election. You've got investigations directly against Joe Biden and his family member, for God's sake. That's ongoing right now. We're going to talk about that later on. I don't want to hear any whining about political persecutions from the Republicans. They invented that crap.
And you were saying, with even a scintilla of a hint of misbehavior on the part of a Democrat was enough to set the Republicans off on a crusade.
Yeah.
Some of their crusades of late don't even involve that. Some of their crusades of late are born out of nothing at all.
Mm-hmm.
And one illustration of that is, we've got a killer witness to show that the Biden administration is corrupt. We've got a killer witness to show. Oh dear. I'm sorry, we're not able to locate him. You know? So the killer witness got the big headlines. We're not able to locate him, not so much. And it drives me crazy to see, you know, this partial coverage of the news, these headlines that scream Durham investigation sharply criticizes FBI for Trump-Russia investigation. And as you know, that's all people draw from most of these stories is just what they see in the headline without ever reading the story. And I'm sure many of these admirable stories go on to tell the rest of the story. But that's not what the public sees. And this is such a great disservice to democracy.
So Jake Tapper actually said, when the report dropped, he said, it's devastating to the FBI, and to a degree it does exonerate Donald Trump. Yeah.
See, that's the worst. I this is why my blood pressure's up today.
Yeah, mine too. This is another situation where a cable news network has to be first, and they don't have all the information, and they're blurting something that is completely untrue. There's nothing here that exonerates Donald Trump. Are you kidding me? And that's the word that gets out. That's what seeps into the brains of viewers, and then they repeat it over the water cooler, or they share it on social media, and then that's how the bullshit story gets out.
Bullshit.
Because that's how it's being reported on cable news, where sadly a lot of people get their news.
Right. And so America has come away, the media, I have to blame primarily for leaving the wrong impression about this story, this development, as they do so many.
Yeah. I mean, according to Barbara McQuaid, by the way, who yes. wrote an amazing thread on Twitter, I'm going to cover some of it here, but she made sure to emphasize that after 4 years, a review of 1 million documents, 490 interviews, Durham's conclusion is that the FBI should have opened a preliminary investigation instead of a full investigation in 2016. Oh, my God. That's it?
That's it.
That's all. So she said that's here, the only difference between a full investigation and a preliminary investigation is the duration and the authorities that may be used. This is a hair-splitting quibble, she said, and one on which the FBI officials routinely disagree. Durham also minimized the reasons FBI was alarmed enough to open a full investigation in 2016 based on information received from Australian diplomats about Trump campaign advisor George Papadopoulos. And according to the Aussies, of course, Papadopoulos said, Trump team had received some kind of suggestion from Russia that it could assist this process with the anonymous release of information during the campaign that would be damaging to Mrs. Clinton. So that kind of connects Papadopoulos in a way to the disinformation campaign. Papadopoulos' statement came right after the DNC hack, of course. The FBI was properly concerned about Russia's efforts to influence the presidential election. This was an investigation into Russia. That's what this was all about. And it wasn't just the DNC that was hacked. It was the RNC as well. Russia was up to something, and they were telegraphing that behavior way early in the election cycle. And right. certainly it all played out exactly the way some of us were foreseeing at the time, which is yes. this massive social media disinformation campaign to help Trump and to hurt Hillary Clinton.
This is so maddening. We tried it, as you just said, we tried to call it out before it happened. Mm-hmm. And as it was starting, we tried to call it out while it was happening. We tried to call it out after it was happening, and nobody's listening. Yeah. All they hear is the Durham report sharply criticizes the FBI for its handling of the Trump-Russia investigation.
Yeah.
That's all the public knows right now, except for the few progressives who actually know what's going on.
Plus, what happens is they're combining that myth about the Durham report with the myth of the Mueller report.
Right.
So between those two things.
They're throwing out the whole Trump-Russia thing. Yeah. I don't know how we successfully argue or relitigate the Trump-Russia case, which is very real. How do we do it now? Because we, in the minds of the public, we have lost credibility on that point. I don't know how we bounce back from that without evidence and without more evidence and actual legal action, convictions, prosecutions.
Yeah, and it didn't take any great sleuthing to determine that this was going to be a gigantic story and this could be an election altering story. I believe Chez and I on this show around it was in July. I want to say late June, early July when that DNC hack story finally came out. We said this is the biggest story. This is one of the biggest election stories of the year. This is a gigantic story.
It still is.
Yeah. It continues to be. We had no idea the scope of what it was going to be at that time. But we knew already that based on the information that we had in hand, that it was going to be a gigantic, gigantic story. One of those sort of Watergate caliber stories. Barbara McQuaid added here, great point, Trump had other concerning ties to Russians, real estate deals, Miss Universe pageant, loans from Russian leaders, Trump Tower Moscow, campaign chairman Paul Manafort had lobbied for pro-Russian oligarchs. All of the Trump campaign members also had ties to Russia. Mike Flynn was paid $45,000 by Russia Today in 2015 for a speech he gave at a banquet where he sat next to Putin. He later lied to the FBI about his calls with the Russian ambassador about sanctions during the transition. Carter Page. Oh, my God. Then Durham criticized the FBI for relying on the Steele dossier for the Carter Page FISA thing, that warrant. Steele dossier was not the basis for opening the investigation, but it makes for a useful scapegoat to blur that fact. And let's talk about the Steele dossier here for a second.
Yeah.
Because there's this other common wisdom out there that it was wall-to-wall bullshit. The Steele dossier.
The whole thing.
Yes. But there are many aspects of the Steele dossier that were confirmed, not only in the context of the Mueller investigation, but the Republican-led Senate Intelligence Committee were able to verify certain things in the Steele dossier up to a certain point, and then the trail went cold.
Right, and there's going to be, I mean, when all Steele did was collect information from people, things they had to say, and some of those things turned out not to be true, and some of those things were, in fact, very true. It all warranted investigation.
But there's this idea out there, much like the false idea that the Durham report was this gigantic condemnation of the FBI and an exoneration of Donald Trump. It's all a gigantic myth. And there's this myth that the Steele dossier is just absolute fiction because of the PP tape and some of the things in there that were it was all unverified intelligence. It was just raw intelligence gathering. And, you know, there were some people who took it really, really seriously. And but there was validity to that. There was reason for that. It wasn't just wishful thinking. There were things, there were other things leading us to believe that maybe there's something to this document that we don't have confirmation of yet.
What do we need to do now? I mean, this is my frustration. What action can I take? What action can we take? What action should be taken to not let this go down the drain of memory, down the memory drain? Because as I said, in the minds of not only Red Hats, but perhaps the general public, we stand somewhat without credibility, despite the evidence you just laid out and that she laid out, Barbara McQuaid. And despite all that evidence, in the minds of the public right now, in their minds, we have no credibility on this topic.
Yeah.
How do we change that? How do we overcome that? How do we prove they're wrong?
Right. Well, it's often difficult to do that when you've got a lot of voices in the traditional press saying that, you did get it wrong. This is great news for Donald Trump, as far as he goes. Right. You know, and that regarding Donald Trump's reaction, by the way, it was going to be one of two things, depending on how this report sussed out. It was either going to be, oh, my God, I'm exonerated. And those people who said Trump Russia are traitors and it's treason and they're all going to go to prison as soon as I get a chance to do it. Or he would have said, this is part of the deep state conspiracy that Durham was unable to find anything. Durham turns out to be a radical left Democrat because his second cousin gave $5 to the Chris Dodd campaign in 2008. It was going to be one of those two things. So you just have to discount Donald Trump's reaction right off the top, which sadly, some people, Jake Tapper, don't do that. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah. And I still see people defending Jake Tapper, and I hope we get to talk a little bit about CNN at some point.
Yeah.
Even though I know it's been discussed much already, I think we have a couple of new things to bring to the table.
Well, let's talk about that here in just a second. I want to mention this one last quote, just by way of a measure here, from Bradley Moss, who is a straight shooter. He's not a liberal shill. He's not a rah-rah activist either. He's just a lawyer who calls it like he sees it. And his reaction, his first reaction to the Durham report was, this is it? This is the grand summary? It's Horowitz with some extra commentary. They've got nothing. No grand conspiracy. No effort to take down Trump. It's, you messed up surveilling Page and be more careful next time with political affiliated sources. That was Bradley Moss.
Yeah.
And that summarizes everything. You know, you get so many people, and it doesn't matter whether it's at the corporate level or whether it's at a personal level, some group, some organization, some grassroots organization, or if it's a political organization or even an investigatory agency. Sometimes they're going to fuck up along the way. And there are going to be fuck-ups because we're all human beings and humans are flawed. The caliber, the degree of the fuck-ups as outlined in the Durham report, teeny tiny, minor fuck-ups.
Procedural stuff and nothing that says intent.
Yes, they didn't do a preliminary report when they should have, and there is disagreement within the Bureau as to whether that is even a step that should be taken. So that, I mean, ultimately, that's the extent that we're talking about here. It only gets inflated to the point of being a crisis because Donald Trump and the Republicans inflate it that way because they need to. Because that's what they always do. They inflate nothing into something. It's like this investigation against Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and this informant that's gone missing. We'll talk about that in a bit. But yeah, so just changing gears real quick back to that CNN town hall. I know you've got some additional things to add to that conversation that continues to resonate even now that we've gone through, what, six different news cycles since the CNN town hall?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. I hadn't had a chance to comment it on your show yet.
Yeah.
And I've had a chance to process it on my own, to debate with some people, and to find some new information. First of all, I think you and Kimberly certainly already discussed the fall in ratings at CNN post-town hall. Viewers started tuning out in droves after that event. They got 3.3 million viewers that night. They normally have over 300,000 viewers on a given night. By Friday night, they were down to 100,000 viewers. Meanwhile, over at Fox, conservatives, maggots, have abandoned that channel because of the firing of Tucker Carlson. So between those two events, between liberals abandoning and some moderates abandoning CNN midweek, and maggots having abandoned Fox News the week before that, the result is the number one news channel between those three, at least on Friday night, was Newsmax.
Wow.
Newsmax beat Fox and CNN. CNN was down to, and Newsmax did it on Friday night with over 300,000 viewers, the number of viewers CNN would normally have.
What do you think Fox does in reaction to something like that? Because that had to send shockwaves throughout the corridors of Fox News Channel. Because right. It seems to me as if the reaction for Fox News is going to be to frame itself as even more radical. As if that were even possible, but Newsmax is more extreme than Fox News for sure.
But Rupert Murdoch is a business pragmatist, and he's going to look at the numbers. I think the lawsuits have Rupert a little gun shy right now, and yeah. I think some new rules are in place at Fox. They're still the same animal they've always been, but they have begun to restrict themselves sharply on certain things to try to prevent future lawsuits, even as they face more to come. I, as far as what they're going to do about the ratings, I think they're hoping that time is on their side. I think they're looking hard for somebody who can win back that time slot. But in the meantime, I think they're just sort of, at least on the air in terms of ratings, treading water there until, like I said, things quiet down and they can find a more than suitable replacement.
Do you love Anderson Cooper's condescending commentary after the fact?
Listen,
like, why aren't you paying? You got to pay attention to Donald Trump, people. Why aren't you doing that? You should. You shouldn't stay in your silo.
Here's my thought. When it comes to white privilege, no one is whiter or more privileged than Anderson Cooper. You know? It's sad. And I've seen defense on Facebook of Jake Tapper for his report after that. And I didn't even stay for the whole town hall, the fake town hall, to be honest with you, which we now know was, to borrow a word from Trump, rigged with Trump voters. And they had been coached beforehand not to boo and to only applaud him and make him look good. The cameras were careful not to show, and that was part of the deal with Trump, apparently, not to show people who disagreed with Trump during his speech. And I understand there were some people in that audience who disagreed with him. By the way, if anything came out of that, if anything good came out of that, besides exposing CNN for what it is, the other good thing that came out of that is Trump's admission of intent. the Fannie Willis case got a lot easier because of that town hall when Trump said he told Raffensperger, "You owe me those votes."
Yes.
And that proves that he intended to steal those votes.
And on top of that, E. Jean Carroll might launch another lawsuit against Donald Trump because of what he said at the CNN town hall as well.
I want to come back to the town hall, but yeah, on the subject of E. Jean Carroll, this case that just went down where she won the $5 million for defamation and for the assault, that's actually the second lawsuit that she's filed against him. Mm-hmm. There is a first lawsuit that has not been adjudicated yet, and when it does go to trial, they don't have to prove defamation because that's already been proven. So defamation will be an established fact going into this next defamation trial, which is the original case that she filed. And she could get millions more for that one. And as you just said, but wait, there's more. There could be a third. There probably will be. We'll know in the next couple of days. Mm-hmm. A third lawsuit by E. Jean Carroll against Donald Trump that could take even more. Well, you know, a few million here, a few million there. Maybe we can hurt the guy. And she's doing this, I think, to a large extent. And her attorney, who frequently fights progressive causes, fights for them. I think they are determined to do this not only for themselves, but for the American people. I think they have a generous motive here.
Yeah, and on the Friday after party, we went through the Anderson Cooper monologue. So you want to listen to the after party if you want to hear our whole takedown of what Anderson Cooper said. But the big takeaway from Anderson Cooper is that I think very few of us were going, la, 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 not listening. I don't think that was the idea. I don't think that was the reaction to the town hall. It was about how they treated him like he was a normal candidate. And that was the normalization of Donald Trump, given his horrendous fucking track record.
Right.
That was the atrocity from CNN. That was the fatal flaw of that town hall. Let's talk about policy with Donald Trump. Let's find out what his positions are on things like taxes and the environment. No. You know, Donald Trump is well beyond that. That doesn't matter. And if you can't figure out how to fact check Donald Trump after all of this time, I mean, we talked about this. I think Hal Sparks should be running these town halls.
Yes.
Because Hal Sparks has all of the Trumpisms down by rote. I mean, because he steeps himself in those Trump rallies and those Trump videos. He knows everything that Trump is about to say before he says it. He is a 1,000% expert on all of that bullshit that Donald Trump plays with. And so when it comes to CNN, there's no excuse for not being prepared to fact check Trump, because Trump says the same shit over and over and over again.
I would argue there's no excuse for them conducting the town hall in the first place.
Yeah, well, that is also true.
Especially under the apparent terms that they negotiated with Trump for that free advertising time. And that may be contained in here. I posted across social media this week. While you're deleting CNN from your channel lineup and deleting their app, you may as well drop them a farewell message telling them why. You can do that at this link right here. And then I posted the link. So here's what I got. This is what I wanted to share with you in the audience today. A guy writes in, we'll just call him Peck. He writes in, that may or may not be part of his name, but Peck writes, CNN didn't give Trump a platform. He had one already. I feel like this is an overreaction. To which a wonderful woman named Robin replies, the only platform he has is his pathetic social media. It's definitely not an overreaction to give him primetime exposure to spew his venomous lies. Peck responds, why would it be up to CNN to decide who gets to speak to the public? The guy is leading at the actual polls. How is it the right thing to do by silencing him? To which Robin replies, nobody but CNN gave him valuable primetime to continue to lie to America. Nobody silenced him. They either just didn't offer him the opportunity to spew the lie after lie like CNN did. Peck responds, why is the left side of the literal censorship these days?
No.
Since the silence the opposition, it doesn't seem like you know who you're dealing with. To which Robin replies, oh, please, you want to talk censorship? Look to the GOP. It's not the left banning books and rewriting history. I just want you to argue. Bye. And she bails out. And she says, Peck comes back and says, wrong. Don't what about me? Why does CNN get to decide who is and who isn't worthy of speaking as a candidate in the United States of America? Why should any press be against or for him? And finally, I chime in to Peck. CNN didn't decide who gets to speak. It decided to amplify and give more voice to a man who tried and is trying again to overthrow democracy, a man who's an accused felon, a man who's a court-documented sex abuser. Anyone who thinks such a man should be given an amplified voice is just as culpable in these crimes as he is. And I wrote, also, Peck, don't bother to respond. You've said your piece repeatedly. And then I get... And then I get from a guy named Jim chimes in. He says, actually, Buzz, I think the moderator did a good job of calling him out on his lies and trying to stifle them. It was those mindless sheep in the audience that were cheering and laughing with Trump that made me sick. Okay. And I wrote, you're okay with CNN amplifying him for the benefit of the sheep? You know, so this went on. Here's another one. I don't agree with the action of giving CNN the cancel culture heave-ho. And he goes on to say, he basically both sides it. And I say, here we, I don't know, it goes on, but I end with, he gives me a chart, and I say, there's no negating the fact that CNN gave a broad platform to a man who's tried and still tries to overthrow democracy. Again, court-documented sex abuser, accused felon, this transcends politics, this was and is despicable. And that's the debate that we've had.
Yeah, it's totally despicable.
It's despicable.
But just know that those views are out there, and often among our own.
First of all, Donald Trump has, I don't know how many different platforms for him to inject all of that awfulness, the anti-democracy, white supremacy, just the indecency of it all. I mean, there's lots of platforms for him to get the word out about his awful, awful agenda. It's not as though CNN saying, hey, you know what, maybe we shouldn't treat this guy like he's a regular presidential candidate. That is somehow silencing Donald Trump? Are you fucking kidding me?
He has not been silenced.
No.
Do you see any evidence that he has been silenced? Not having that town hall would not, did not silence him.
Oh, my God. Yeah. See, that's the conventional wisdom that emerges out of situations like Jake Tapper's monologue or Anderson Cooper's monologue. People get the wrong idea. They drive by the issue. They feel like they've got a grasp of it. And then they start blurting things about it that are ill-informed. And then that metastasizes. That tends to grow and get worse. And more people start to repeat that, to rubber stamp that false idea. And that's how we end up losing elections, because people start giving Donald Trump the benefit of the goddamn doubt, which he does not deserve in any way, shape, or form. His track record has made him a pariah, and he should be treated like one. He should be treated like an outcast. He should be treated like someone who, had he had his full druthers, had he not been relentlessly investigated and held accountable, he would have done far worse as president. He would have done far worse after the 2020 election leading up to January 6th. These are all things that he was only restrained in some cases by some of his own people. Had it not been for cooler heads, we'd be in a lot worse situation. And so we're going to take this guy and we're going to plunk him down in the middle of a town hall and ask him questions where we know what the answers are going to be already. We know what everything Donald Trump is going to have to say, whether it's E. Jean Carroll or whether it's Jack Smith or whether it's Fannie Willis or whether it's January 6th or whether it's Zelensky and Ukraine and the impeachment, or the impeachments, I should say.
Yeah.
We know all of his answers. What's the point of putting him on TV and treating him like he's Joe Schmo who just threw his hat in the ring for the 2024 presidential election? It's only going to help him and shave the rough corners off of a terrible, terrible human being who has no business visiting the White House or even visiting within a certain... There should be a restraining order about coming anywhere close to the White House if you're Donald Trump.
At least one progressive group is filing a complaint with the Federal Elections Commission accusing CNN of making an in-kind campaign donation and not registering it. That's really what this was, especially since apparently, clearly, many of the terms that shaped the appearance of that broadcast were negotiated with Trump, with the accused felon. And, and I'm seeing a lot of both sidesism more and more. I've seen an argument that said, Buzz, the red hats are dug in. You're not going to change any of their minds. The progressives are dug in. You're not going to change any of their minds. It was good that CNN had the town hall because independents need to see what a creep he is. Oh, I think independents already know what a creep he is. We didn't need to give him this patina of authority, this
normalcy
of normalcy, of credibility. We're making him look not only normal but credible by giving him this platform. An accused felon, ladies and gentlemen, a court documented sex abuser, a man who's about to face many, many more charges, and that he is clearly, of which he is clearly guilty. No, we don't give airtime to accused felons. And it's interesting that he's the first and only candidate with whom CNN has conducted a town hall among declared candidates.
Well, I'd be okay if CNN had him on, even in a town hall format, if there had been adversarial questions if there had been a full accounting of his various crimes and misdeeds and awfulness, and they had prosecuted that the way they should have.
He and Trump, the moderator, he or she, and the moderator and Trump would just be talking over each other for the entire town hall. Yeah, no, yeah. I am against having the damn thing in the first place.
If they're going to do it, they should do it the right way. And they didn't do it the right way. They did it, in fact, the exact opposite of the right way. Normalizing this guy who has no business being normalized by anyone. He is a highly abnormal human being in every way, shape, or form.
If they apply the rules of debate to this town hall, if it was a you speak for 2 minutes, I speak for 2 minutes, or words to that effect, I can see having that. But seriously, even if you put Hal Sparks in there, bless his soul, and man, that guy is talented. But even if you put Hal in there, Trump would just try to talk over him, and it would be two people talking over each other for an hour. Trump steamrolled his way through the Caitlin Collins hour, and he would steamroll his way through any other hour. Do not give an accused felon an hour of free political advertising time, period.
Okay. We got to talk about Rudy Giuliani, another Trump henchman in trouble. And there's a dimension to this that is, oh my God, it's difficult to evaluate the different elements of this particular lawsuit as
so many
in terms of which is the most urgent of them and which is the most important aspect of this particular lawsuit. There's so many things here going on. Plus, we got to talk about Elon Musk and his censorship of Turkish opposition accounts right before an election. Yes, Mr. Free Speech, the guy who can't shut up about how much he cherishes free speech and how much he's a free speech absolutist, throttled the Twitter accounts of some opposition voices the request of the Erdogan regime.
Let's throttle the voice of Elon Musk.
My God. Okay, so if you're pissed off at CNN and guys like Jake Tapper and Anderson Cooper, here's one solution. You could support independent media, specifically this podcast. For just $5 per month, you can support our Patreon page as we guide you through all the madness and chaos of our politics, all the things that are raising Buzz's blood pressure. But it's not just about supporting shows like this one, though. You're also going to get bonus content as a reward for your monthly support. So, yes, you're going to be supporting independent media, but we give back. We're giving you extra stuff for that support. We're talking about exclusive access to our Shadow Docket show. We record that after the end credits on our Tuesday and Thursday shows. So once we get to a certain point, we stop the free show and we start talking on the Patreon-only Shadow Docket show right after that. So if you're not hearing the Shadow Docket show, you're not getting everything we have to offer on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You're also going to get access to the Patreon app where you can download the free show plus our bonus content, and you can join the discussion with our community of Patreon members in the comments under each episode. All that for $5 per month. $5 per month. You can afford that. Just pennies per show. So don't miss out. BobSeskaShow.com, Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow, and we thank you.
Thank you.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Bob Seska! All-time favorites all day long!
Everybody acts like a stranger. Everybody gonna save your soul. Everybody's knocking you down, but nobody knows you yet. is high, but nobody knows you yet.
Yeah, it's brand new music from the great Bill Toms.
Yeah.
Such a great song. It's a song called Walking on Water. BobSeska.com. Find this episode dated 5/16/23. Click on that link. That's the podcast page for this episode, right? Scroll on down. You'll find the link to support Bill Toms and all the independent music we play here on today's episode. Thank you for doing that.
That will go in?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that's going to go into my playlist of smooth summer songs.
Yes. Oh, my God. It's an embarrassment of riches this week. We got so many great music submissions, and so I'm really excited to wheel out some of these tracks for you. The second song we have to play later on by this amazing singer from North Carolina, her name is Keturah Allgood, and I can't wait to play that song, too. Plus, oh, my God, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. A lot of amazing independent music here. If you want to submit your work to the show, bobsuska.com/music. There's a form there where you can send in your stuff so we can play it here. We do not recruit bands or recording artists. Everything we play here is submitted to us. I think that's right. The most fair way to handle these things. So we're not playing favorites or anything like that based on who we've gone out and recruited and selected. So
we're not trying to groom musicians.
No.
You know, but if they want to come to us, they can.
Yeah. But highly recommend this new track from Bill Toms. Again, it's called Walking on Water. All right. Where do we leave off here? We got to talk about, oh my God, Rudy Giuliani. This is
it's despicable.
Yeah, it is despicable, Rudy.
Yeah.
It was weird. Yesterday, I was working on a video about Elon Musk, and two whole news cycles occurred within the span of time I was talking about a news cycle from the day before.
Yeah.
So it's like I was just talking about something that happened like 12 hours earlier, and already I was behind because as I was doing the Elon Musk video, suddenly the Giuliani lawsuit thing came down, and then the Durham report came down at the same time. Talk about your blood pressure rising.
Yeah. And briefly on the subject of your videos, my God, you're doing an amazing job. I'm so proud of you. And yeah. And I made that known on social media in a gushing fashion yesterday. And we were told to get a room together. And I said, well, we have one together every Tuesday.
Yes,
so
we do.
Here we are in our room.
I was so grateful for that. And I'll tell you exactly why, to be perfectly real and honest about all of this.
Yeah.
Doing video, those of you who've been following my podcasting for some time now, years and years and years, know that I have totally resisted doing any sort of video, putting myself on camera and doing something where I'm talking to the camera. And I started doing it earlier this year, and it's been one of those things where it's not only been a learning process from how to do it the right way, but then also just the psychological aspect of it. Like, oh, my God, I'm really putting myself out there on Instagram and TikTok and Twitter. There's a bit of insecurity that rises up when I do these things.
You don't need it. You're doing an amazing job. Not only yourself on camera, which is a big thing, but your editing and where you find these clips. Oh my God! and the pace and the number of them that really make the whole thing come alive. Your use of them. You're just doing amazing work there.
Oh,
and
thank
it,
you.
It has
thank
to
you,
be called you. Out. And it, you know, you've sometimes referred to me as a mentor, and I don't know, but what I know is this: I couldn't be more proud of you.
Just having that vote of confidence. Means the world. And I've received similar remarks from other people who I admire as well that I'm so grateful to hear that because it feels like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'm on the right track with these things because it's an insecure thing. It's new territory and I'm uncertain. Is this something I want to keep doing or is this going to be, am I going to fail spectacularly in the process of doing these things? So it's still in that early stage, you know?
So you were doing this video about Musk, which we're going to talk about in a minute, but while that was being produced, we got the stories on the Durham report and now the Rudy investigation, the Rudy lawsuit.
Yes.
It's despicable.
Yes, he does. He thinks it's despicable. But yes, this woman, Noelle Dunphy, filed a lawsuit here, and she's claiming that Giuliani hired her for business development work in 2019, didn't pay her what she was promised, and then fired her in 2021. The summons alleged that the former mayor made several anti-Semitic and racist remarks during confused and hostile alcohol-laced tirades, demanding sexual favors. There are three huge, gigantic angles to all of this. There are rape allegations. We've got potential tax evasion. And the sale or the attempted sale of pardons, where he apparently entered into a deal with Donald Trump to sell pardons for $2 million a pop.
And then we split the money, right, boss?
Yes. Holy shit. The White House Plumber series on HBO couldn't have come along at a better time. Because we really are seeing the new, like, the next generation of stupid. The White House, of stupid, yeah, delusional, self-important weirdos who just can't keep their hands on the ball, just completely fumble all the things that they're supposed to be doing. And Rudy Giuliani is, God, I don't know which character he would be from the Watergate era.
Oh, these are new characters.
Yeah, these are all new characters.
This is a different time and new characters, but you're right about the stupidity part. There's evil intent there, but being carried out by some of the stupidest people around. Here's what I posted to sum up the lawsuit. Rudy Giuliani is accused of offering Trump pardons at $2 million each in a new lawsuit, also accusing him of sex abuse, tax evasion, that's huge, and labor violations. The pardon money was allegedly to be split with Trump, according to Rudy in this lawsuit. I also add the lawsuit also claims Giuliani told this employee not to talk to the FBI and to Google obstruction of justice.
God, just these dummies. Here are some of the allegations that Ms. Dumphy has included in this lawsuit.
Oh, it gets gross.
Yeah, Giuliani made her work naked, made her perform oral sex. He drank all day and night. He made racist remarks. As I said before, he made sexist remarks, made anti-Semitic remarks.
Labor violations.
Didn't pay his bills, sold Trump pardons for $2 million. Some of the details are...
extortion.
Like trying to get her to take a shower with him.
Right.
Which is just, I can't even imagine what's going on.
And there was talk of Viagra. In the lawsuit, there's talk of Viagra. There's talk of Rudy's erections. If you thought hearing about oral sex on Rudy was hard to
fathom. Oh, my God. It's so disgusting.
Here reading about his erections and his Viagra and all that. This is sordid. But I'll tell you what, this tax evasion story.
Yeah.
By the way, I think that's a Florida expression. I tell you what. The tax evasion charge alone could very well and probably will put Rudy Giuliani behind bars, but also prosecutable, and I hope that it is, the extortion that is involved in offering presidential pardons at $2 million a pop, money to be split with the president, as Rudy himself said. That's extortion. That's influence peddling. There are serious federal crimes here. This is essentially a labor law violation lawsuit. No. She's alleging workplace sexual harassment, and in the course of the lawsuit, she was able to list a lot of other things that need to be pursued and mm-hmm. would be pursued in court under this lawsuit. What makes this lawsuit so strong is the phrase repeated so often within it, which is, after posting in the lawsuit a conversation quoting Rudy Giuliani, the notation, this conversation was recorded.
Yeah.
This conversation was recorded. Those four words, as Lawrence O'Donnell was saying last night, are the words that will be the end of Rudy Giuliani. This is a gross, disgusting listing of the various crimes, some of them, of Rudy Giuliani, as witnessed by someone up close and personal. This will spell the end of Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, I think we can call these allegations the full Giuliani. I think we can call them. I mean, it really is the hat trick between there are sex crimes here, there are tax evasion crimes here.
You name it.
There's a presidential level scandal here. Rudy Giuliani at one point became drunk, this says, and fantasized about visiting a hotel with Ms. Dumphy, bizarrely saying during a recorded conversation, and here I love those words, during a recorded conversation, that he would tell the doorman to wait outside with the luggage so that we do it on the floor in the living room. We don't even make it to the bedroom. Oh, my God, I'm about to be nauseous. All the clothes... That was me talking. That's not the lawsuit. All the clothes came off, he said, and telling the doorman, I need time alone with my girlfriend, with my daughter, with my little girl, the lawsuit quotes Giuliani.
There you go. Many times he said to her that he thought of her as his daughter, and it was always in the context of, do you want to have sex?
Oh, my God. This is so,
he's disgusting. He's fine. Yeah. Rudy's fine. He's just fine.
This became part of a pattern in which Giuliani referenced Miss Dumphy as, quote, his daughter in the context of sexual activity and made her extremely uncomfortable.
You think?
Rudy Giuliani also made disparaging remarks about Jewish penises. He said, in the lawsuit, Giuliani made derogatory comments about Jewish men and implied that their penises were inferior due to natural selection. What is that even? I don't know if you understand that's
Hitler speak, really.
Giuliani named a prominent lawyer who he believed would require $10 million for gay sex. Giuliani then insisted he was the only one of his male friends who would turn down any amount of money to have sex with a man.
Such a stud. Just the thought of Rudy Giuliani in a sexual context is disgusting enough. But to know these details about Viagra and oral sex and you're like my daughter and oh my God, this is as ugly as it gets on a personal level. But let us not forget these huge, devastating federal crimes of tax evasion and this extortion of offering $2 million if you don't want to go without a pardon.
Thinking about Rudy Giuliani in the shower is maybe the most disgusting thing I can think of. I think there's going to be an entire population of men in the United States who, when they want to hold back their orgasm, they're going to imagine Rudy Giuliani in the shower.
You know the movie Borat, where Rudy lays down on the bed and begins to pull out his private parts, and just in the nick of time, Sacha Baron Cohen bursts in to put a stop to it because Rudy thinks he's in the presence of Borat's teenage daughter, all fictional characters, the teenage daughter being played by an adult.
Yes.
Actress. And to protect his actress, although that was not his plan in filming this, Sacha Baron Cohen didn't know Rudy was going to lay down on the bed and pull it out. And when he saw that begin to happen, for the protection of his actress, he burst in and put a stop to it. All of that is in the Borat movie that features Rudy Giuliani. And guess what? That clip has been introduced as evidence in this lawsuit. Borat is now evidence in court.
Gotta love Sacha Baron Cohen.
We dreamed at the time when that scene came out. We said, well, hey, can't you get this guy on something for that?
Yeah.
Well, yes, you can. And here it comes, ladies and gentlemen. The wheels of justice grind ever so slowly, but they're about to crush Rudy Giuliani.
Rudy Giuliani enjoyed receiving oral sex while he was having a phone conversation with Donald Trump.
Oh, no.
You know why? Because it made him feel like Bill Clinton. It's in the lawsuit.
I don't want to know this. La, 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 la. Tax evasion, extortion.
It's despicable.
Yeah. The lawsuit also alleges, buried on page 25, that Giuliani asked Dumphy for help selling pardons for $2 million a pop. Giuliani told her that he and Trump, quote, would split the fee. The lawsuit alleges. So I'm wondering at this point, obviously, the Internal Revenue Service is going to probably take a look at these tax evasion charges.
Probably, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I imagine the Department of Justice should take a look at the fact that maybe there was a conspiracy between Rudy and Trump to sell pardons, and were any of those pardons sold at $2 million a pop?
I believe Jack Smith is already looking into this, so this will be more fuel for that fire.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. I didn't know he was looking at the selling of pardons.
I won't swear by it, but I'm pretty sure. I'll give you a pretty sure on that.
Okay, well, if he's not already, then he's going to be doing that soon, or at least he should be, because that's a big no-no. I mean, that requires not just an investigation of what Rudy and Trump conspired to do, but it would also require, as far as I'm concerned, it would require some sort of congressional action, some sort of law, some sort of strengthening of how pardons are doled out by the president.
And there's only one way that can work, and that's with overwhelming Democratic victories. We are in danger of losing the Senate. We cannot allow that to happen.
Yeah.
We are in danger of losing the White House in 2024. We cannot allow that to happen. clock is already ticking on this. I know November 24 seems a long way away on the middle of May 23, but it's not. And we have a lot of work to do and a limited amount of time to do it in. We must hold on to the House. We must regain the House. We must hold on to the Senate. And we must hold on to Joe Biden as president. Yeah. Otherwise, what you're seeing now in Florida could very well be national law. What you've heard out of Trump's mouth about bringing back Michael Flynn could all come to reality if we don't do the work. And that is why today I did place a call to the chairwoman of my county's Democratic Party, because although I think we do a great service here with all the talk that we do, I'm tired, at least in Florida, where the battle is intense. I'm tired of just talking. I'm ready to get on the ground and do the work. And as I said before, I'm not, rah-rah Democrats. I'm no fucking way Republican.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way I would ever, and not only would I never vote Republican, I must work now because of their autocratic position. I must now work hard on the ground to defeat them. So this is the day, and I'm doing some other things as well. I'll fill you in as I go. But I think I have something to bring to the table, and I'll conclude by saying, will you be my vice president, Bob?
I would be happy to.
I'm not going that far, but I think I can help, and I think we need the help, and I'm tired of just talking about it. The talking is great. I'm going to keep doing that, but damn it, I've got to do some groundwork. I've got to get in there and do the real work now, and I hope other people feel the same way, especially if you look around what's happening in Florida. Sure, it's just DeSantis, and sure, he's not likely to be the next president, but it is possible if something happens to Donald Trump, his distant number two becomes number one. So you need to be very concerned. Democrats around the country, Illinois, they're very proud of their Democratic state. Minnesotans are very proud of their Democratic state. I know a lot of Michiganders are very proud of their state. Californians, obviously, proud of their state. You guys must not abandon, and I hope you don't mind if I call you guys.
Sure.
But you guys must not abandon states like Florida and Kansas, which is now trying to be like Florida, and Iowa, which is now trying to be like Florida, and Missouri, which is just about caught up with Florida. I have friends and family in these states, dear, dear people. We are all suffering. We all need your help. We don't need you to abandon us. We need the help of Democrats from across the country to turn things around, because this autocratic creep is taking over more and more geographical land in this country, and only on the ground action at this point, well, not only, but on the ground action at this point is a vital element in pushing back.
Yeah. And just to extend that to the national level, and I think it's an amazing thing that you're taking this next step to becoming more active in Florida politics. But on top of that, one of the things that we've talked about over the past couple of shows is extreme movement toward mitigating the climate crisis. The EPA just released new factory emissions standards that will reduce almost to zero carbon emissions from factories by, I want to say, 2038. I think that's the goal. There's so many other things obviously coming out of the Biden administration. You know what happens if a Republican gets elected president in 2024 or 2028 or something like that?
It all goes away.
Yeah, absolutely.
It all goes away.
Yeah.
So good things are happening. There's no reason, as I always say, there's no reason to abandon hope.
Right.
We must, if anything, step up the fight, not surrender. I'm reading, I was advised today that a lot of young people are leaving Florida. I'm sure a lot of blacks have left Florida. I'm sure a lot of the LGBTQIA plus community is abandoning Florida. I get it, and especially in the case of LGBTQIA plus, I understand the fear that you feel living here. But damn, we need your votes to stay and fight. As some of us can't afford to move, and while we're at it, we don't want to surrender this state. We don't want to give up or run away. We want to stay and fight for the homes that we love so much. Those of you who have the pride in Minnesota and Illinois and California and so on, send a little love our way.
Yeah.
To states like Florida, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, et cetera. We all need your help. Don't abandon us. You have friends in these states. The blue dots are your friends.
Yeah.
Please embrace them.
Right. Whenever someone shares, I know you take objection to whenever someone shares that Bugs Bunny gif of sawing Florida off of the rest of the United States. There right. are lots of amazing progressives, liberals, Democrats, et cetera, who live in Florida and are fighting the good fight. And sadly, they're aboard that sawed off Florida that Bugs Bunny is creating. So maybe think about that when you share that particular gift. I get it. I get what it's all about. I understand.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there are lots of good people who are stuck on that newly created island in the Caribbean.
We've learned now that the guy who almost beat, who came within just a few thousand votes of beating Ron DeSantis for governor in that last election, Andrew Gillum was charged in a federal investigation of corruption.
Yeah.
And we now know the guy who's responsible for those charges, he's behind bars. All charges have been dropped now against Andrew Gillum, who was apparently drugged and photographed naked. And it was a destruction. It was a political dirty tricks campaign to ruin the man who almost beat Ron DeSantis. And if it hadn't been for that BS investigation, Andrew Gillum, a black man, would be the governor of Florida today. And things would be a lot different today. And please tell me that they can be better here again.
Boy, that Andrew Gillum story sounds like something that G. Gordon Liddy would have gotten away with.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. More about him in the shadow docket today.
Didn't he put LSD on Jack Anderson's steering wheel of his car?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, my God. Got to talk about the White House plumbers on the shadow docket again. Episode 3. You can kill a guy with a pencil. All right. Lots more to get to here. We got to talk about Elon Musk's censorship of Turkish opposition accounts. And this story isn't necessarily just about Turkey. It's not just about Erdogan. This is a story about the United States in the 2024 election. We'll talk about all of that right after these words.
Bob Seska plays more music.
Baby, sing. Don't let anyone rob you of your dreams. Sing, baby, sing. Let your broken heart ring. Somewhere along the line, somebody said you weren't good enough. Somebody said you were too loud. They said your edges were too rough. Somebody said that you're not pretty. Somebody said that you're too old. Somebody said you'll never get anywhere, so you better go on home. But I say sing.
Oh, wow.
Baby, sing.
I don't want to interrupt this.
Don't let
This is a great Keturah Allgood.
Wow.
Brand new recording artist here on the show. Just got this submission yesterday and had to rush it to air. What a wonderful song. So inspiring. Especially for those of us who take comments and replies on social media a little too seriously. You only have to judge yourself against yourself. Don't worry about any of that bullshit.
Right.
Don't listen to it. All right. Yeah, I got a link in the description to support Keturah Allgood. We're going to be hearing a lot more from her in the coming weeks and months and years on this show.
Good. That was very him-like, and I mean that in a good way.
Yeah.
And the lyrics, so important, so beautifully sung. I'm duly impressed.
Yes, it was one of those songs where I let it play for a little bit longer than I normally would, because you can't interrupt a voice like that.
No.
Oh, my God. So seldom do we hear just, such soulful voices, such soulful recording artists. And we get so many of them here on the show, recording artists who should be topping the Billboard 200 become household names in the process, winning all the Grammys. And sadly, they don't, but we're going to give them all a special place here on the show and do what we can to get the word out about incredible musicians like Keturah, All Good. Link in the description. You got to download this song again. It's called Sing Baby Sing. I've got a link in the description under this episode at bobsesca.com. And probably if there's full descriptions where you get your podcasts on your podcast player, there should be links in there. Sometimes results may vary. But if you can't find a link in the description on your podcast player, go to bobsesca.com. Find this episode dated 5/16/23. Click on that link and you'll find all the links. Not only support Bill Toms and his new single, but also Keturah, All Good. And apparently she's got a new single coming out later this month, too.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. I just want to share this, and it's something I've touched on before, but certain messages bear repeating. It's a good practice to listen to Bob's monthly music countdown shows because they contain the full versions of all these great songs that he plays on his show. And you could just play, they're never outdated, so you can just play one after another, let them play into each other, and you've got a day's or more than a day's worth easily of music to listen to. I'm planning a road trip early in June or early to mid June, and I fully intend to make Bob's music countdown part of the soundtrack of that trip. So,
oh, good.
And I'm really excited that the music we heard today will be in that next one.
Well, sadly, because of family obligations and a bit of a family emergency, have not put together the April Indie Music Countdown yet.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. I'm waiting for the May edition, or maybe you'll put out an April May edition. Maybe.
I you know what? I think I'm going to do a supersized Indie Music Countdown at the end of
bless
May.
You. Where thank you. I know you've been busy. I know you've got the videos. You've got the family thing. You've got another exciting project that you're working on. There's a lot going on with you. Your time is pretty much booked all week long. But some of us really like this music, and we do appreciate the extra effort you make to make that happen when you can. We'll settle for that when you can do it.
Other than talking to you and Jody, David, Kimberly every week,
right,
playing this music is the biggest honor of getting to do this show. It's just one of the thrilling things of putting together episodes of this show is being made familiar with all of these great recording artists who otherwise wouldn't have necessarily a platform. And I'm happy to provide that platform.
As Bob said earlier, we love it when you submit to us.
Yeah, exactly right. And I'm looking forward to doing a 36 song countdown next time around. The only problem with that is I got to find jingles that start counting down from 36. I think I only start at 20. So it's going to be an interesting countdown. And by the way, the Indie Music Countdown now featured exclusively on our Patreon page, patreon.com/BobSescaShow. And that is free. That is not a subscription-only feature. We're giving that out to everyone who goes to our Patreon page, whether you're a subscriber or not. So that's what's happening with all that. All right.
I will remind you that you have an announcer on staff for that expanded countdown.
Oh, that's right. Maybe I'll get you to say numbers from 36 down to, I'm not sure. Usually it's about 18 songs per countdown. And since I'm going to combine 2 months' worth of countdowns, that makes it 36, so maybe I'll start you at 40. And you know what else?
And then when you get down to where you have jingles, you can alternate or just do jingles the rest of the way out.
What I need you to do right now is I need to hear you say, Trek Politics with Mary Trump and Bob Sesca.
Trek Politics with Mary Trump and Bob Sesca.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, because I got to put that together by the time the first episode rolls around, which is early June. We're going to be starting that show.
We can do more. All I know is you and I are the captain and number one on this starship.
That's right. And, you know, it's funny you mention that because Mary and I just had that conversation. Who's got the con and who's number one? Well, and obviously Mary Trump's got the con and I'm her number one on the show. That's how that works out. Yeah.
I think you can wear that proudly.
Well, and then sometimes like for an interview, I'll take the con. You know, she'll give me the con and I'll take
captain,
over. And,
yeah. Exactly. The captain turns it over when, you know, that's
exactly
fine.
Right.
That's procedure.
All right. Let's talk about fucking Elon Musk. Actually, no, let's not talk about fucking Elon Musk. That's hideous.
Yeah, we just did that with Rudy, and that was unpleasant. So
gross. All right, so the Turkish government, under the control of autocrat Erdogan, demanded that Elon Musk throttle or restrict, I think, something like 80 different opposition accounts inside Turkey in advance of Sunday's elections, which are now going to a runoff, which will happen on May 28th.
Because he's the free speech guy.
Yes, because he's the free speech. And of course, Elon Musk obliged Erdogan's demands.
Because his business is crumbling and he didn't want to lose the Turkey dollar.
Yeah, exactly right. Now, he didn't restrict all 80 accounts, but he did restrict certain opposition accounts that Erdogan requested, or didn't request, he demanded. And the alternative was Turkey was going to shut down the app in the entire country for everybody.
What a loss.
Yes. Well, here's the thing with that. That's not a real threat, because in 2014, they did the same thing. Erdogan demanded that Twitter restrict certain accounts, and Twitter at the time, for all of its flaws in the Jack Dorsey era, Twitter said, fuck you, Erdogan. We're not going to comply with your demand, you dictator. So Turkey shut off Twitter for the entire country. And then they eventually went back to it, and it was fine. But in the process, Twitter instructed, and again, this is 2014, Twitter instructed users in Turkey how to get around that ban by using VPN and other methods. So that's how you do it, especially if you're Elon Musk and you claim to be, and I underscore claim to be, a free speech absolutist. This isn't about, and I know, God, the only people who are dumber than Elon Musk are Elon Musk's fanboys.
Oh, yeah.
Because I did my video for this week was all about this thing with Turkey and Elon Musk.
So good.
And the
can be a little bit of a deep subject. And by listening to this video, and this is one of the things you got to admire about Bob, he's got the research. He knows his stuff. And you knew stuff that I didn't. And so I learned a lot from this. I appreciate that knowledge.
I got the documents right here. Hey, look at all the documents about Elon Musk and censorship.
Okay. He has the papers.
So Elon Musk throttled these accounts.
Right.
And so going back to Elon Musk's supporters, they all jumped into my replies and were like, well, I mean, there's no expectation of free speech in Turkey and places like Saudi Arabia. Well, that's not the point. It's not about First Amendment in Turkey or First Amendment in Saudi Arabia. Obviously, it's the hypocrisy, stupid. That's what that's about, because all this time that Elon Musk has either been hinting or trying to buy Twitter, or since he has bought Twitter, he's been going on every talk show he can find and saying, I support free speech because I'm a free speech guy and I love free speech.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's not true. Otherwise, you know, he would have chosen free speech over protecting his janky investment, and he didn't. He chose to protect his investment, whatever minor amount of ad revenue he would have received from users in Turkey. He didn't want to forgo that. So he submitted to this dictator. Here's the broader issue with all of this. This should freak us all out. Yeah. This should, as Sherry Jacobus put it, this should frighten everybody. Mm-hmm. Because it's likely then, and this has been one of my primary concerns about Elon Musk and Twitter since the very beginning. This is why I've been spending so much time talking about this. For those of you who are thinking, oh, shut up about Twitter, Bob.
Boring.
This is what I've been concerned about, because he is entirely capable of doing a similar thing in 2024 with our elections. After all, he's already said that the Democrats suffer from the woke mind virus. And he's busily repeating white supremacist memes. He was screaming about George Soros yesterday, not the same way Rudy Giuliani was, but with other ridiculous conspiratorial far right attacks. This is something that is entirely possible for our next set of elections. Remember what happened in 2016 when social media was off the rails and allowed all kinds of horse shit to skew that election. If it had not happened with social media and that disinformation campaign by Russia, I believe that Hillary Clinton would be 2 years into her second term right now.
Bottom line, if he can do it there, he can do it anywhere. If he can do it there, he can do it here.
Right, right. So then we roll into one of the reasons why, or one of the other reasons why Elon Musk complied with this dictator in Turkey, Erdogan. Uh-huh. We rewind to 2021 and news that came out in September of 2021. It was about 16 months ago. Elon Musk's U.S.-based SpaceX is set to launch Turkey's first domestically produced communications satellite, TurkSat, I think this is a 0A or 6A, in 2023. After analyzing several companies' efforts and options, SpaceX's Falcon 9 rocket, which is the best option in terms of technical, administrative, and financial aspects, was chosen. Transportation and Infrastructure Minister, and I'm not even going to try to say this guy's name, said in a press release on Friday. Basically, the Erdogan regime struck a deal, a very lucrative deal, with SpaceX to use one of its rockets to launch the TurkSat 6A satellite.
Coincidence? Yeah. I think not.
So what do you think? I mean, if suddenly Erdogan is no longer the dictator of Turkey, do you think the subsequent regime, which would, according to the opposition candidates, would be a much more democratic regime, do you think that democratic regime would continue to do business with a company that was doing business with Erdogan?
God, I hope not, although they're, yeah, I'm sure they want the money, but
yeah.
I would hope not.
Well, I would say it's less likely. I mean, if you're Elon Musk and you've overextended yourself to invest in Twitter, you don't want to lose money, especially if it's SpaceX money. And SpaceX just did a rapid unscheduled disassembly 4 minutes into its most recent rocket launch. So this could be why. This could be a big reason why Elon Musk complied with this mandate.
I just hope the new government, presuming there'll be one, and we really don't know yet how that's going to turn out, but presuming there's a new government, we have no guarantees that they won't go for that sweet Elon Musk SpaceX money and continue to do business with him. But, I mean, you've presented a good argument for why they shouldn't, but there's always the money factor that has to be considered.
Yeah, and I want to add here, too, regarding Twitter, and again, this is yet another reason why I think this is an important story, irrespective of whether you're a Twitter user or not. It doesn't matter. You have to admit, even though you've maybe tried Twitter and said, it sucks, not for me, nope, and you're out. You have to understand that it's the centerpiece of the global discourse right now. Every world leader, the new modern town square, like it or not.
Right.
And so that's why I'm putting extra emphasis on this ongoing story. And this is another element of it. Twitter, under Elon Musk, has been platforming animal torture videos that I will not describe here because I didn't see the videos, but I saw descriptions of the videos, and I wish I could delete that information from my brain. It has been horrifying to me. It has haunted me since I saw the descriptions. They are terrible, terrible things. And what was going on is Twitter's autocomplete in its search function was leading people to that, to those videos. So if you typed in cats into the search function, one of the first results to come up in the suggestions were the cat videos that I'm talking about. And there were also dog videos as well. Nightmarish stuff. Things that if you have a vivid enough imagination, you can kind of imagine what might have happened in these videos. Terrible, terrible things. And, of course, when there was pushback, when the press got a hold of this information and tried to reach Elon Musk's Twitter to get them to either comment or take this shit down, their first email back to Ben Collins from NBC News was a poop emoji.
That's how
Elon Musk responded to this particular story.
And that is Elon Musk.
Yeah. It is absolutely becoming the new version of 8chan. It's just a slow process. It's going to get there. But the way Elon Musk is running this thing, it's not going to happen overnight. But we're starting to see hints of it, and it's bad shit. Now, I don't want to leave on that note. So I do want to mention one last thing as we wrap up here, Buzz. The best person in the world this week.
Oh, please. Yeah.
This guy named Joe Flood. Rachel talked about him last night. This is my favorite story, and one of my favorite videos. I can't really play the audio from the video on the show because you kind of need subtitles with it.
It's not great. The audio's not great. Yeah.
But this guy, Joe Flood, turned up at that Patriot Front rally in Washington, D.C. over the weekend.
The guys in the various colored khaki pants.
Yes, right. And he had a bullhorn, and he was screaming ridiculous things at the Patriot Front guys. Like he would
silly
say
stuff.
Yeah, hi. He would say, hi. Hi, fascists. And then he'd say things like, no one likes you. Your mom hates you. Your friends hate you. You are the losers of your high school class. You are sloppy. You're not even matching. This is my favorite part. You all have different types of pants on. Cargo pants are out.
Yeah, that's great.
Reclaim your virginity, he was shouting. He was, and by the way, one of the reasons why this guy is the best person in the world, bike rider. He was on a red bicycle. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like the fact that bicycle cops formed a line between him and the Patriot Front so that they wouldn't attack him, you know, to sort of protect him. And they allowed him to continue with his free speech, which is, it was good to see that.
Yeah. I love these guys who are putting their asses on the line or getting skin in the game. Like there's that one guy who always stands outside all the courthouses with those giant signs. You know the one I'm talking about?
And the whistlers, the people with the police whistles who drown out news conferences by Marjorie Taylor Greene and others.
Yeah.
These are all heroes, whether it's this guy shouting silly things at the Patriot Front or somebody blowing a whistle. It's really good to see this. And you know what? Not only is there nothing wrong with this, I think it's healthy and helpful.
Yeah, it really, really is. And I think this same guy, or it may have been another guy, but he also had a bullhorn and a bicycle, showed up at a outdoor Republican press event where they were announcing some heinous, draconian piece of shit legislation.
Right.
And this guy showed up and was disrupting it with a bullhorn to the point where they had to stop. They had to stop and walk away.
Free speech.
More like that, please. That's yes, the kind of pushback that we need. It's nonviolent, but so effective.
It is.
I mean, the signs, that guy with the signs, like standing behind George Santos during one of his press conferences, holding a giant sign that said lies right over his head.
That's true. Well, we can say this about progressives. We have the better signs.
Yes. And you know what? The signs and the noisemakers and the bullhorns, way better than the old days. In the old days, maybe 20 years ago, liberals were really good making giant puppets of people, making giant effigies of people.
Right.
But I don't know how effective those giant puppets were.
Oh, and it's time consuming.
Yeah, making all those big puppets.
Paper mache, you got glue all over everything.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Still so much to talk about here on these super long shows these days. But, man.
Believe it or not.
Yeah. We keep making all the stops because they keep ringing the bell. Isn't that
that's right. That's Kramer's what we do.
Kramer's thing on the bus when he commandeered the bus. Let's see what else here. We didn't talk about how the Republicans lost their informant, so maybe we'll start off there.
Yes.
On the shadow docket. We got to talk about some good news, possibly from Microsoft. Weird source for good news, but this could be great. You know, I've been following this story. We'll talk about what it is here coming up here on the shadow docket. And a whole lot more, plus the White House plumbers, etc. See you over there, folks. Patreon.com/Bob Sessa Show. Bye-bye.